Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the sound of London. This is Londonist Out Loud. I'm Anne Quentin Wolfe, and the schools are out, the trees are going up, the lights are on, and the Christmas throng is charging through the shopping centres. If by any chance you're looking for something to stick in someone's stocking, or indeed if you just fancy finding out about places that you're going to have a peculiarly relaxing pint or three, then oh boy, do I have a book recommendation for you.
Hey baby, let me take you down to a place of strange sights and sounds you ain't never seen the like before. Just a stone's throw from your front door. Hey baby, step out me, see a piece of the air, land in the sea. Some creep, some saw down the road, jam brand store.
My heart aches for some far off place. No one cutters that you with your name, how you raised us.
Well, hello, hello. This is, I think, the first time I've had to wash my hands before starting an episode of the show. I have to think about that, but I think that's true. And I've been led down a basement in Shoreditch, and I'm sitting in a place with astroturfed walls. Do you know, I know what's coming, and I still don't know why we've got astroturf balls. With me, though, the lowly snapper and the author of Pub Cats, London Pub Cats, Vicky Lane and Tim White. Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
I shouldn't refer to you really as a lowly snapper. I did so by your invitation, yeah. But I don't think that's really...
In this case, it was my job to take the photograph, and Vicky supplied the words for this project.
We're looking at a small square tome. Photography, first of all, since we're on the subject, is beautiful. Can I congratulate you on that?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, amazing. I really want to find out about how you managed to get any of the cats to stay in shot long enough, and I gather there were some issues around that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit tricky. I mean, we shot this time last year around sort of December time, so the light wasn't great, a lot of dark pubs, always a bit of a challenge, and obviously then... Yeah, the old cliche, working with animals. I think Dreamies was the key. I don't know if cat lovers will be aware of the Dreamies.
To get yourself pepped up, ready
basically
for the shoot,
for
right?
Me, yeah. And the cats themselves seem to like them as well. And little feathers on strings seem to sort of coerce them outside of the darkest sort of passages and in the backs of sofas and things like this, where they seem to hide.
We're going to come back to the inside track on how this was done in just a second. I just want to touch in, Vicky, with the words, because no lesser congratulation is due to you, because essentially this is a book of cataloguing pubs and cats.
Cataloguing.
No, we're not doing that.
The key word.
No, we're not doing it.
Okay, we'll drop the puns.
We will be doing it.
It's going to happen, come on.
But you've essentially managed to say something very similar, and it's fresh every time, and I'm really impressed with that, because each time, here's a pub, here's a cat. How did you go about achieving such freshness?
Well, no, I do think that was a concern when I was first assigned the task. We were like, how are we going to write about 20 plus cats from 20 different venues and make it sound interesting and not just go back to all the same old puns and recycle the same stories? But, I mean, ultimately, that's the beauty of London pubs, I think, is that they each have their own characters and their own stories. And actually, I think that's what cats lend themselves to as well, is that they have their own character and they're a lot freer than, say dogs. And don't get me wrong, I love dogs as well, but, you know, everyone's next question is always, is there going to be pub dogs? And
the answer is there's too many, apparently. There's, I mean, every pub has a dog. Well, I was surprised there's not that many cat pubs in London. Always seem to sort of find the majority of them, but maybe there are others. People will no doubt write in with lists and lists of cats in pubs, but you know, I think there's less of them, so that's why it became more of an interesting subject.
Also, I think it's that cats, you feel like cats have got more of a personality, and that because they're able to go off and
I think you've just went over the line there, didn't you?
I'm going to get a lot of hate for again, love dogs, nothing against dogs. But ultimately, cats are free to go off and explore and get up to all sorts of mischief, I think. So
I like the very different relationships that the various pub owners and landlords and bar staff have with the cats. I think there was one who likes to hide up on the top shelf in the office, so when you go to put that accountancy file up there, it has a go at you.
Yeah.
Did we manage to get a shot of that cat, by the way?
Which one was that one?
This is one that seems to secrete itself all over the place.
Where was the Gunmakers? Oh, yes, Purdy was very well behaved, I thought. And the Gunmakers are one of the better pubs to shoot in, yeah. I think she was the one that ended up on the bar tap, on the taps.
Yes. That should have been the cover shot, really.
Yeah.
He was. Possibly.
So this was the...
I didn't design it, so I don't know.
Let's go down that road, because clearly it goes without saying a lot of thought goes into the composition and putting the pictures together, and then somebody else gets hold of those pictures. How much say do you get on how they're laid out?
Very little. I mean, obviously, I do an edit of the images. I choose which ones I like best, and I send them over. And yeah, then obviously that's in the hands of the designer to sort of compose and make it look good, make it visually engaging from a page turner.
So this is, I know, the first or second book by the publisher in question.
The second book.
Second.
The publisher
Paradise
has published.
Road. Is it Paradise Road?
Paradise Road. Yes, they're a new publishing company specialising in books about London. Actually, so the first one was Up in Smoke, which is about Battersea.
Yeah.
And that was released a couple of months ago, and then this is the second release for them.
Is that Pete Watts?
It was Pete Watts.
Yes.
Absolutely. Who wrote the first book?
Talk to me about this, because I imagine that you would have had this idea yourself and would have been so enthused by your love of cats that you would have demanded that a publisher takes this book.
Actually, no, it was the publisher that
Do you hate cats as well as dogs?
I just hate animals and stuff. No, I do love cats.
Did you feel a chill ripple through them? We haven't talked about where we are yet, but a chill went through the place just then.
Oh, no.
When you said I hate cats, was that?
And there's a slight hiss in the air. We might have to backtrack. Has anyone got any dreamies?
I don't carry dreamies.
Did you bring the emergency dreamie supply? That's what I need to know.
No,
you'd know if you did have the dreamies.
Yeah, they'd be all over me. Yeah, we should say where we are. Really.
Yeah, we should. We should. Should we leave it hanging for a moment longer? Yeah, come on. Let's take the genesis of the book. Let's carry on with that.
Well, pub cats, obviously, people like pubs, people like cats. That's really the way.
This was an idea hatched in a pub, by the sounds of it.
It's good alcoholics to tour London, really. That's the way I look at it. And there are some great pubs in here. Some of my favourite pubs in Southampton Arms, a personal favourite. Good cider. Most of my references are about the pub side than the cat side, if you might notice. And what was the other one? The Old Eagle in Camden. That's a very, very nice pub.
But it also features Lady Dinah's Cat Cafe, which is where we currently are sitting. And the reason for that being that...
Nice segue into that.
Yes, yeah. The reason for that being that I think when we were discussing the book and we were going through all the pub options, this had just opened, it was still quite new, and... We actually work in the travel industry, and I've been myself writing a lot about the Cat Cafe, and it was a kind of like, oh, it's such a shame that we can't get this in as London's first cat cafe, as the place that was really kind of drawing cat tourism, I suppose, and was kind of, you know, the establishment and kind of making it very aware that people bloody love cats.
And obviously shift a lot of units, so that's
that too.
When you say cat tourism, I've got a vision of, you know, a plane load of American cats arriving.
Well, cat tourism, yes. I mean, you know, the fact that, you know, this place, when it opened, it booked 20,000 people
in the first week, this can't be real.
It had 60,000 people visit it in the first year it opened.
Right, quick description of what I'll try and do justice to this in a couple of sentences. We'll need to flesh this out, though. In the middle of this room, which is 15-foot square-ish, 20-foot square, something like that, there is a mysterious tree. It's all whirly trunks and roots. If you were underground, actually, you might be forgiven for thinking that you are, given that you're in the basement. This might be the roots of an enormous tree above us.
Like a Tim Burton sort of like set.
Yeah, good. Yes, exactly right. And all around us is paraphernalia with cat imagery on it. Christmas card cats, Hello Kitty cats. I don't even know what these things are, but they've got cat images. And there are cats. I should have mentioned that probably earlier on. We're surrounded by cats.
Tim knows that only too well because...
Yes, I am, not terribly, but quite allergic to cats, which has presented a bit of a problem, especially here in this very room. So, the fact that we're doing the interview here, so if I start sneezing uncontrollably, you'll know why.
We're 10 minutes in and you're fine.
Right, okay. Well, yeah, it does take a bit of time, but...
suggesting Tim's been lying about his allergy the whole time.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's
not too bad so far, yeah.
I think he has been lying, but I don't know whether we're going to be able to do this place justice. This is a one-off, really, isn't it?
It really is a one-off, yes. You know, and they've actually done it up more since I wrote the book and I visited. And, I mean, it is. It's just like it's a magical realm of cats, really, isn't it? It kind of looks a bit fantasy down here with all the trees and, like, the sparkling fairy lights. And then upstairs, you literally have cats running along the walls, on the shelves. There's a cat wheel.
They have here?
I thought it was 12.
It's probably 12. Right? Yeah, 12. Yeah, I don't know if that's
seems
gone up.
Seems like there's more. But
I can't see a single... Oh, there's one over there. Listener, you know the multi-level platforms that you get, the sort of furry platforms with scratching posts. Of course, there are a few of those, pretty generous-sized ones as well. But as you look around, you realise that the walls are also built with that in mind, and there are furry shelves and little platforms for them to perch on. And we can see over in one of the corners there next to the beam a black and white cat looking down on proceedings below. And that's about all the cat life I can see, actually. They're kind of thin on the ground. Maybe we should have brought our own.
Yeah, there's a couple, I think, in the tree, in the wooded area. But maybe there's a few upstairs, I think. Yeah. Maybe it's nap time.
So I think there are one or two places that are actually rivaling this place in their affection for cats. And I've got the place in Walthamstow Village in mind when I say that. Should we do the story of this place?
Lady Dance. Yes.
How did it come to be?
Yes, so it was set up by Lauren Pierce, who essentially she was working in for a computer games company and had a really bad day. And on her way home, she said she used to always go to the station, and there was this cat that she would often see on the way to the station. And she was a big cat lover. She's from Australia. She was over here. Obviously, she couldn't have her own cat, which is a problem I think a lot of Londoners have, where especially in rented accommodation, you're not able to take pets. And she was really missing that comfort from having, she had cats all her childhood. And she used to always look forward to seeing this cat on the way to the station. And she'd had a particularly bad day. And then she got to this cat and he was there and she picked it up and she was like, this is brilliant. Actually, life isn't so bad. And she realised that everything was so much better when a cat was involved. And it was at that point I think she'd already had the idea for a cat cafe. She'd visited one in Japan before, where there's quite a few over there, and thought, maybe it's time to try and bring this to London. No one's done this. And the next day, she took the day off work and wrote her business plan. And that was it. And then she started up a Kickstarter campaign, and I think it was within 3 months she'd raised £110,000 to start London's first cat cafe. And obviously it's a story that really lends itself to a lot of media attention. Everyone was getting very excited about it, was really behind it, and people would get vouchers to come and visit the cat cafe and get certain memorabilia. And my understanding, I think it was within a year the cat cafe opened, not without a lot of difficulties. I think just finding a venue where the landlord would allow for you to have pets. Obviously it's getting all the right okays to have pets in an establishment like this, which is why they have very strict rules here about the animals. And and respect to her, it's very much this is their home and you are coming into their home to have a coffee, not you are here to disturb the animals.
How does that work? Do you happen to know how that works then in respect to food hygiene rules? How do they go about making your food and drink for you?
I think it's just because it's kept very separately, so to actually get into the area with the animals, there are a couple of doors that you have to go through.
Oh, we went through the airlock, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the animals are very separate from anything like that, so essentially it's no different to having animals at home. And obviously the as far as I know, I assume the animals would be taken off the tables if they were to jump on with the food. But as far as the preparation area, it's all very separate.
So. We didn't do that at any of the other pubs we went to. There's no sort of, you know, washing of hands when you went to the Old Eagle or something, was there?
No, there wasn't.
They could lie, couldn't they, about the cat's presence there. Oh, there's a cat here? Really? But whereas in a place like this, where every item in the place is connected with cats, including 12 cats, you're going to have trouble hiding them.
Yeah, Toto, you know, I think people probably know that there might be animals here.
Maybe.
So...
But this, what you say is true about the problems that you might face trying to get animals into your rented accommodation. To the extent that I tried to rent a room years ago, and I said, I've got a cat. And my cat was my firm friend. And they said, yeah, no problem. And I paid my deposit and moved all my stuff in, including my cat. And they said, that's fine, but we've changed our mind. The cat's got to go. Can you imagine, what do you do in a predicament like that? You can't throw your friend away.
No, I mean, that's like your child, surely. My first cat was like my first child. And, you know, that's essentially saying, throw your child away, is it? Or not? Is that too much?
Well, you've changed your tune.
I told you I love cats.
Oh, I see. Okay. I'll try and remember that.
Why would I write this book?
Well, yes, why would you write this book? Because what's this about the travel industry?
I'm actually a travel and lifestyle journalist by trade, and Tim is actually a travel photographer.
I mean, like I say, it was through our association with the editor, who's an ex-colleague, and we, you know, decided to help him out on his first, one of his second book, and get involved with it. So it was just something quite a change from the normal day-to-day business of doing travel stuff. So it was quite engaging.
We didn't actually know that Tim was such an established animal photographer.
Well, this is the thing. I could become the cat guy. I don't want to be. I like photographing cats, but I don't want to do it. You know, just want to make that clear. I don't want to shoot cats the rest of my life.
I mean, I think you should rephrase that. But you are very good. I mean, I couldn't help thinking. I was wondering if you were a food photographer, because if you just swapped in each of these pictures, if you just swapped the cat for a plate of something delicious,
right, okay,
that would work. I'd eat it. I was tempted to consume one or two of the cats.
Oh, right, right here. Okay. Doing my job then.
There are certainly stories here that I want to jump into, but from a photographic point of view, which
Churchill,
of these would you go?
So I've just flicked to the page of the Old Eagle, and that was particularly, there's two black and white cats, so I just got sort of running around a pint of Guinness, which seems sort of like quite relevant to the colour scheme and everything, and there was an old, you know, old fellas sitting in the background who sort of obviously go there every day. It was quite just an atmospheric shoot. And yeah, a pint of Guinness next to our black and white cats, which works well.
If you're doing when you say you do travel photography, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Do you get local people in various towns to stand next to things that are colour matches for them?
Oh no! That isn't a particular style.
Have some dreamies.
Dreamies are always essential. I did get confused, but it's we sent out to do a feature on a certain destination. That can be anything. Over 400 assignments abroad, so there's been quite a big variety.
Oh, that sounds like the life.
Well, it's been okay, yeah.
How many destinations did you visit last year, Tim?
Well, it's quite a few, about 40, so, yeah. But, you know, none better than the 17 pubs I visited.
I mean, one thing I was going to say, it was actually more than 17, because we originally had 20 pubs that we were going to feature, and actually... Unfortunately, one cat did a no-show.
That was quite. We actually got to the point where we turned up. What pub was that? It was somewhere down in Farringdon, I think. But basically, yeah, the cat just didn't appear. It was basically very shy and refused to come downstairs.
Grapes, that's the one.
We had another cat which had to go back twice, Anglesey Arms, Lily, who basically doesn't actually live at the pub, but she just turns up 11 o'clock sharp every morning and scratches the door because she's obsessed with, you know, those little half pint of prawns you get. That's basically what she does every day, turns up for her pint of prawns. And she didn't show up the first day, so we had to go back.
And where can you turn up for a free pint of prawns?
Where you interested?
Yeah.
The Anglesey Arms in Hammersmith.
I'll give that a go.
There's not
you just show up
to do that. I really enjoy it.
Just to help yourself.
Yeah. You have to pay money for the prawns.
I think
as well.
You have to pay money. I think, don't think she does. Yeah. Lily gets them free.
Try and scratch at the door.
Scratch at the door at 11 o'clock, and you never know.
Well, what time does she leave, did you say? She normally goes off after the prawns.
I think she stays around all day. Yeah, she just turns up. It's like a little domain. She just hangs out in the pub.
Did I read that when her owner comes into the pub, she completely blanks the owner?
Totally. Yeah.
So the cats are... I mean, can I use the... No, I can't really use the word eccentric without somebody writing me a letter from a law firm. So let's just... One or two of the people in the book here seem to me to have some interesting ideas about the cats and their relationships to the world and each other.
Are we moving on to the Nag's Head in Walsham today?
Well, I don't know.
The cat pub.
I certainly wouldn't attribute any of those turns of phrase or idea to anybody there.
No.
Well, I'll tell you what I really loved about that place, before we get into the cat business, was the fact that their upstairs room... This is a lovely old pub in Walthamstow Village. They've got the Madame La Zonga Lounge. That's the best thing ever.
Oh, it really is. I mean, it's a very unusual place, isn't it? It's very... unique. You have to go to believe it, but even just from the outside, I mean, it looks like this kind of very beautiful, ideal country pub, and then actually when you look a bit closer there are these like silhouettes of these...
There's pictures of cats in wedding dresses, and it's like, you know,
not without reason, right?
Well, they get married there apparently, so there's been a few cat weddings.
Can I just underline this is not flippant, this is not loose talk.
It was very famous. It was on the same day that Will and Kate got married, and it was their biggest rival on the day, actually, was the cat wedding at the Nag's Head.
So this is the pub cat taking a shine to the cat who lives next door.
Yes, absolutely.
And this, as far as I know, this follows on from a cat funeral that was held there as well. So has this place become an established venue for cat ceremonies, or what's going on there?
My understanding, they only hold funerals, weddings for cats that have actually been part of the pub. However, you know, I'm sure Flossie Parsons, who's the landlady there, would potentially be open to holding outside events if anyone did want to do that.
They ban children. They're very strict about banning children from this place, aren't they?
Yes.
But they marry cats to each other.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on this?
Marriage of cats. If they're genuinely attracted to each other, and it's consensual, I think it's fair play.
Unlikely to be over the age of 18.
Unlikely, very unlikely. But what is the age of consent for cats? I mean, is it like dog years? I don't know.
I was going to say, unfortunately, on the day, so it was between Billy and Harvey. Harvey was the cat next door, I believe. I've got that in the right order. But Harvey being the groom, and he actually got cold feet and legged it out of the bathroom window.
Oh, really?
I think it was within the first hour of marriage, although we've been assured that they've worked things out, and it was,
The fact that it was the bathroom window makes it sound like he did actually need to excuse himself to go in this game.
Exactly.
Like he couldn't just walk out being a cat.
Guys, I'm just so overwhelmed. I'm just gonna go separation. Freshen up.
Sure, you're all right, Harvey.
I will be back. Anyone seen Harvey? Gone.
Well, I'm tempted to go and have a look, but I'm not sure. Which would you recommend in terms of, because I've seen there's a couple of bruisers. Salem the cat looks terrifying to me. I don't think I'm going to go within half a mile of Salem.
Yeah, Salem's tough. Actually, it
was the first one we shot, I think. One in Greenwich, yeah. He was.
Had you yet to learn how to charm a cat? Because he looks pretty angry in the pictures.
Yeah, well, it's also black cats in the sort of like dark pubs is quite tricky as well, so it was quite a tough one to start with.
You come home and examine all the pictures, no cat in that one either.
Yeah, where's it gone?
Yeah.
That was a bit of a challenge. But yeah, he seemed okay. He's got quite a scary name, but I think apart from that, he seemed... I wasn't getting any of the real devil worshipping stuff from him.
More the regulars at the pub. Who were absolutely lovely, but incredibly protective of Salem. Like, if you sat in his chair, you got told it was Salem's chair. And actually, I think that's what's interesting or really kind of struck me about these cats. And just kind of the general custom of patrons of pubs is that what's lovely is that it's this whole kind of mixed family of people from all walks of life that just come together, and anything outside.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The pub is completely irrelevant. Everyone's just, you know, in it together, and there's a real community there. And actually, it was similar with these cats, where a lot of them were strays, and they kind of come in and they're just kind of brought into the family, and then everyone's very protective of each other. And in that sense, it's really quite sweet. But yes, they were the ones to look out for.
You do see that sort of interaction bringing out the charming side. I was wondering about pub dogs, though. How does that work? If you've got a pub cat, are dogs not automatically banned, or have you seen any of these interactions?
There were a few dogs about. I think actually, really, again, this is the thing with pub dogs, is that often they're upstairs, aren't they? So sometimes they.
No,
get...
I always trip up whenever I go in a pub. And there's a pub dog there.
Or they're on a lead next to a pub, or I suppose there are some.
There was a couple of pubs where there were dogs roaming around, and they tended to get on quite well with the dogs. So didn't seem to be any problems there particularly. Not as, you know, it's not, you know, Tom and Jerry style sort of like ferociousness between them. I think it's, you know, they seem to sort of cohabit quite well.
I'm going to ask you about Japan in just a sec, but could we pick out one of the stories that particularly appeals to you, Vicky?
Legs, the cat. Yeah, Legs is quite vicious, actually. I don't know how Legs was for you.
Right? Legs was one of the better cats to photograph. It was the three-legged cat from the Charlotte Despard in Archway. But, I think, I don't know what the story was behind, whether he was a stray or something.
He was
not
a
sure.
Rescue cat. So Legs, he was in a car accident, and he ended up, he lost a leg, and that's where the name Legs comes from, because it's ironic, because he doesn't have the full set. And yeah, so it was, I need to check what the name is, but a local rescue centre were trying to rehome him, and my understanding is that he did go to a couple of homes and he just didn't settle, and they would find it very difficult to rehome this three-legged cat. And the owners at the Charlotte Despard, basically, it was a regular had seen the tweet go out about this cat, and they said, okay, well, we'll try him here, and he's still there now. And actually, what's interesting, he's a real celebrity, actually, but in Japan, because he stars in a Japanese cat book.
Yeah, here we go. And, this is what I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, actually, this is something that kind of came up a few times when we were doing our interviews. We were like, you know, the cat's already been in a cat book. And we're like, what? There's another cat book?
Not just a cat book, but a London pub cat book.
London pub cat book, but in Japanese. So
they got it first, and they produced it. Yeah, and everyone, and pretty much the same pubs. So what is much better?
Well, no, I would have thought that's quite useful, isn't it? There's two directions I want to go here, but I suppose the primary one is, at what stage during the production of this did you find out about that?
I think in the first pub.
Yeah,
I mean,
the first pub. In fact, actually, the Charlotte Despard was the first pub, and they brought it out. And actually, what did really strike me, I mean, I went at a very quiet time. It was quite early in the afternoon, and there was a Japanese family there. That's a couple with their young children, and I mean, it was, you know, in a very empty pub. And actually, the Charlotte Despard is on a very busy road, and I wouldn't say it's a pub that you would just walk past. It's one of these that it's a very local pub, and unless you know it's there, you wouldn't necessarily kind of just pop in. It's not a tourist pub, but they'd gone just to see Legs the cat, and you know, it was quite, as I was saying, Legs. you know, he's got a real personality, but he's not the cuddly of cats. He's not the most, not the friendliest. And, you know, just watching him kind of swiping at this young child and the family being delighted at this, like, you know, he totally got away with misbehaving.
Yeah. That was quite interesting. Tokyo to Archway. And, a long way to come to see a cat, isn't it?
Well, it is. I hope they hadn't just come for that purpose. Yeah,
they're quite enthusiastic, so I imagine. I mean, could have been a whole sort of adventure to see all the. Maybe they were doing the whole book.
Yeah, which brings me to the other fork of inquiry that I wanted to go down, which is you've already identified Legs's home in order to have turned up there, but how did you go about it? If it wasn't with the aid of this Japanese book, how on earth did you go about tracking down where all these cats were, if there's no previous literature on the subject?
Very easy. Twitter and Instagram, to be honest. I don't know.
Well, this is 2000. Got a bit of movement
in action. Yeah.
Can you describe this for me?
Why don't you?
Well, there's a cat walking along a ledge.
Not as impressive as I was hoping.
It's a black and white one. It's now on the tree. He looks like
no David Attenborough, is he?
No, it's oh dear. No, he's disappeared. Okay, it's gone. Yeah, the moment's left us. But yeah, sorry, that was a side. Slightly excited by movement.
I think you should do a nature program just like that.
Okay.
There's a lion. There's a lion. It's sitting.
It's a banner park.
And now it has vanished.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? Yes, how did you go about doing this?
Yes. The cats. Yes, yeah. I was saying, you know, thank you to the public who go out and every time they see a cat in a pub, they tweet a picture of it or put it on Instagram.
Do they really?
They do, and obviously normally with a hashtag pub cat, you know, and that actually made it very easy. And there is there's an official pub cat blog, and who also have a Twitter feed, who they tweet about pub cats all over the world, but they also obviously a good lead for these, and just also actually before we go to
this Twitter feed, can we say more about this, please? How does that work exactly? Because if it's worldwide, I've got in my mind now that there's not just the Japanese family, but that there are people around the globe just going to pubs because of cats and travelling like you do, you know, 40 different destinations to see 40 different cats. Is this happening?
This is absolutely happening. Oh, yes. I've heard Amsterdam's very big for pub cats, actually.
Maybe we're going to do the next one is pub cats Europe. So maybe we could.
I was saying maybe we could do like exotic cats or something like that. Yeah. Get permission to travel. We could do it on the back of your.
Absolutely. Run away and look for a pub cat.
Is there a movement that you're tapping into? I'm serious.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's what I was saying before about cat tourism. I mean, genuinely, you know, as I said, I'm a travel journalist, and, you know, especially the cat cafe boom. There are so many cat cafes that have opened up across the world in the last couple of years, all over. And equally, there's a lot of cats in pubs. And actually, I don't think that was, you know, whereas cat cafes, obviously, as a straight tourist drive, people just realise that having a cat in a pub is A, nice, and B, really good for pest control. And that's actually the key reason to have it. I mean, especially in London pubs, one of the main reasons people get cats is to stop mice.
I cut you off in mid-flow, though. You were talking about other people. We've done Twitter feeds, and you were saying something about what other people are up to.
Yes, I was going to say that actually, once other people knew that we were doing a book about pub cats, very quickly it became a word of mouth thing where people were, you know, very quick to be like, oh, have you been here? And what about this cat here? And oh, you must get in this cat. And actually, again, it's one of those, it's a real conversation starter where people are kind of desperate to be like, oh, I saw a cat. Oh, where was it? And even a lady in the queue at Sainsbury's, she gave me the tip off about Nag's Head, actually.
Oh, really?
When she heard me talking to a friend about the cat book and was like, you know, kind of chipped in from behind, which was very useful.
No. And one of the cats is tweeting as well, I think.
Yes.
I'm very suspicious about this.
Lenny, the cat at Spitalfields.
Lenny
Spitalfields.
Yes, the Pride of
Spitalfields.
He tweets.
Yeah.
Lenny and Punch,
okay.
You didn't know about this.
Well, I wasn't aware of Lenny's tweets. I'm trying to remember which one
at
Lenny was.
Lenny the pub cat.
And what does he tweet about? I should have probably checked.
I think pub life, really. You know, and also, I mean, again, he's a bit of a celebrity because there are various there's a food tour that goes past the pub, and actually they make it a point of stopping off at the pub to go and see Lenny. And then they're like, if you also want to have a drink, great, they have really good beers, actually really good ales on tap. But mainly it's Lenny, and he'll come down and kind of he's ready for his adore in public every morning. He's very much the star of the show.
All right, I'm just cards on the table here. What I'm not sure about is whether there are some charming characters doing something lovely here in a few different places, or whether I'm just opening the door onto something that's got the whiff of a cult about it. Is there something?
I believe it's just usual ownership of cats, but that happens.
Cats are trying to take over.
Yeah, I don't think there's any conspiracy.
I've got the No, not a conspiracy. I've got the same feeling that I have when somebody was telling me about furries, and I was there's people who like to dress up as. And I was they dress up as full scale. You don't know about this.
I don't know about.
Well, I hope I've got this right. But they get dressed either that or I've had my leg pulled. But people get dressed up as furry characters. Fancy dress outfits where you look through the flap in the neck, and then they get up to with each other.
Didn't find any role playing in any of the. Did you find any of that?
No, hang on. Before we get confused, I'm not suggesting that's going on in the.
These aren't actually real cats. These are people dressed up as.
Oh God, that would be so much more frightening.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think it's a perfectly innocent cat ownership
situation.
Deal. And actually, as I said, I think one thing. Pubs are often taken in strays or rescue cats, and actually they're in a position where we have this space and we can accommodate these animals, and actually the customers seem to really like it, and as I said, good pest control. But actually, again, it's social media that's making it much bigger in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think I see that.
Always been there.
They are the backbone of social media, aren't they?
Absolutely. It's something that people want to tweet. As I said, people like to take pictures, they want to put it up. It's interesting. It's fun to spot the cats, and actually that's why it's suddenly coming to the surface. It's because of the internet. But
I wondered when I saw this, and I had exactly those thoughts in my mind, and I thought, well, with that many cat pictures on the internet, who on earth is going to bother to pick up a dead tree version of that? But this has been very popular.
It has. It's doing really, really well. And I think that was always the point, to make it that it had some takeaway for the reader, that it was actually a travel guide to London pubs from their cat residence. And that was always the point of it, rather than just doing a plain old photo book.
Well, I'm just saying, it is introducing some of the nicest pubs in London as well. I mean, by the device, cats. So basically, it's a little travel guide, isn't it, to show off some of the best places in London. I mean, but it's just like.
I can't wait for the first official cat crawl. That's what I'm waiting
for. What?
The first official cat crawl. Like pub golf.
Oh, cat crawl.
I want to see the group that dress up as cats and kind of do the whole 18 pubs.
Yeah, these are the guys I was warning you about.
We can photograph that.
Yeah, you're right. These are the first.
This is where those two worlds collide.
Right,
exactly.
Well, that'd be interesting. Maybe that's the next book.
I'm looking forward to that.
What I'd like you to do now, I can't get that idea out of my head now. What I'd like you to do, Tim, is get into the world of furries and photograph them as sympathetically.
Furries, is that the term?
I believe so.
Pubs. Oh, right.
In these pubs, in the same poses, draped across the bar taps.
We could do that. I think that'd be really good.
That's
I mean, good. We'll put this to Andrew. That's for the next book. Yeah.
London excellent. Pub fairies.
And you've got a built-in renewal mechanism as well, about every 5-10 years, of course, haven't you? I mean, I don't like to be morbid, but.
We've already had that, haven't we?
It's not been officially confirmed. We've heard rumours.
Did you put your camera equipment down in the wrong place?
Yeah, it's. Has it not been confirmed? I thought,
it hasn't been officially confirmed. At the Trinity Arms, there were rumours. Well, no, I'm not really sure about this, that both Horatio and Woody had passed away.
Right.
But I'm not. It seems quite strange for both of the cats to have died in a space of about 7 months.
There's a whole
deeper story there. I'm not entirely sure.
We had one before that we actually started shooting, the Boogaloo, which is a great pub up in. But it starts in Hutch, but Hutch disappeared, apparently. Yeah. I think it was.
Jerry was very upset.
Yeah, so maybe. differences over royalties for the 70s police program. I don't know, but it was like
what you'd probably actually be interested to hear is another chapter that unfortunately we had to drop was the Shakespeare head in Angel, which is just behind the Sadler Wells Theatre.
That's a fine little pub, yeah.
It is a fine little pub, and actually, you know, I was quite disappointed that we weren't able to get this in because, the big story about it is it actually has a cat ghost, but unfortunately Tim wasn't able to photograph that.
So
we were trying to get in the next pub cat, Ginger, but she wasn't very good at photographing.
I'm okay with cats, but not cats apparitions. I can't do those, you know, they're sort of difficult to focus on.
Well, I think we need to know more about this.
Well, yes, so the old pub cat was called Whiskey, and Whiskey was in the pub for, I think it was about 18 years, and a much-loved pet of the pub, and, you know, very prominent, and, you know, everyone would always say, well, even still today, people are like, where's Whiskey? But Whiskey passed away a couple of years ago, and, yeah, so we went in and we're kind of hearing all the stories about Whiskey, but there have been sightings.
Yeah, glasses moving across tables.
Exactly. The cleaner swore that she saw Whiskey jumping off the table one night.
Do you believe this? Do you think they have actually seen the ghost?
Well, we didn't do that one, did we?
Well, I mean, there was some...
Why did you leave that out, by the way?
Oh, we left it out, so the...
It was a ghost.
No, it was
you could do an entire book of ghost cats, couldn't you? Empty bar stool, here we go.
There's so many ideas for new next books.
No, it was actually because the new pub cat, which they'd got about 8 months ago, I think. Ginger was probably longer than that now, over a year ago. Ginger the cat, unfortunately, wasn't very photogenic. I don't think she turned up, did she?
I can make most cats work, but he probably was because she didn't
turn
up.
She wasn't there.
Well, you're giving each other knowing looks, but I think what you're saying to each other is she was an ugly cat. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think a cat called Ginger could be an ugly cat. No, I'm Ginger, by the way.
Let's not make this personal, but were you discriminating on the basis of photogenicity?
Not at all. No, I mean
they all
appeared. All shapes and sizes and colours.
Cats are beautiful. It's impossible to get a bad-looking cat.
I don't see ugly cats. I mean, really, do you?
My understanding was that she wasn't there to photograph.
Yeah,
and that's why we had to drop a couple of chapters.
We had a few no-shows basically. And it was
the same as Hooper Grapes Guinness.
Yeah,
that we couldn't. She wouldn't come out. To be photographed, and actually she was a predecessor.
But they're unpredictable things, so you had to sort of work with it. And if if Hutch disappears, what can you do? You just better watch Starsky. I think it was called Hutch because David Soul used to drink there.
It was in the book.
Is that in the book? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's lucky that
I know that from going there and meeting him at New Year's Eve or something. And finding my sister and saying, I'm talking to David Soul. So I just picked that name up.
Could I pick your brains? It's entirely uncat related question. Could I pick your brains? Because there are lots of people photographing London, obviously, and there are lots of people writing about London. As people doing those things so successfully, I wonder, are there some tips that you could give or some tricks up your sleeve that you might share on ways to get into a place and do the best with the material?
I think it's just having an interesting idea, isn't it? Like I say, a lot of people, in this case, combining two things that people like, pubs and cats. So, you know, I mean, it's just taking a different sideways look at a town we're very familiar with. And a bit of fun, obviously, it's not meant to be taken too seriously. Something that, you know, the perfect gift.
All right. Find your angle, is what you say.
Find your angle, yeah.
I think on this particular assignment, it helped that it was in a pub, which often allowed for a drink, and it helps the conversation to really flow, which is good. In fact, actually, one thing at the Eight Bells, when I was talking to Sue,
pubs are the centre of the community, aren't they? So, you know, they quite often they're important personalities. I mean, if they, you know, because we found that a lot with all the pubs being quite local, but the cats are an important part of them, you know. they're loved by all the locals.
And you were saying, Sue...
I was going to say, when I went to the Eight Bells with Sue Dignam, who was lovely and very accommodating, and we had a couple of glasses of wine, and actually she ended up knocking over my glass of wine all over my dictaphone about an hour after the interview, which is good. Luckily, I can do shorthand, so I did have some backup notes, but...
When you interviewed the person in charge here, it was at 90 degrees, getting covered in cats.
It's a shame that Lauren's not here to show you the trick. But actually, I mean, before we even got to that, on the first thing she said to me was, I must warn you, I find it very hard to concentrate when there are cats around. And I'm kind of like, well, you know, there are 12 cats here, so it's going to be a really difficult interview. And she's already like, what?
She's failed to concentrate so much tonight that she hasn't even turned up to work.
Exactly. I mean, she's probably, you know, down in the corner with one of the cats somewhere, I'm not sure.
Sitting in the corner wondering what she's doing.
Yeah. Very hard to concentrate.
No, she does this very good trick with Donnie the cat. I'm not sure if he's still here. She was always...
on the wheel. That wheel is quite fun, isn't it?
The wheel is very fun. But Donnie does she does this amazing trick where she basically just bends over and he sits on her back.
Yeah.
So we conducted the whole interview with her at a 90-degree angle, which I've never done before. It's like extreme interviewing.
And that the wheel in question, I should say, which I'm going to go and have a go on in just a second, is about 4 foot across, and it's like a hamster wheel, essentially, but it's got the air of the carnival about it in its colours, and it says on it, Lady Dinah's Cat Emporium, which, because I'm not sure we've been too specific, we're more or less opposite Rich Mix on the Bethnal Green Road, aren't we? And it's claiming to be in Shoreditch, which means that Shoreditch has sort of spread a little bit. This used to be Bethnal Green. And but it really is it's gentrified massively, and there's lots of quirky shops that are doing booming trade for Christmas. There's a Costa just up the way here, which means it's game over as far as edgy goes. But the place has changed massively, and you guys are based pretty near here, I think.
Yeah, just up the road. We've always lived around this area. It's always a new experience walking down the high street. Everything changes very rapidly. Like I say, it doesn't surprise me that there's a cat emporium here. Yeah, where else would it be?
And the final word is to say what it's called. I've got an issue with this one word thing, by the way.
Pubcats.
Yeah.
That might have been my fault, so I think it was. Was it Cats in Pubs originally? I think I labelled the images Pubcats.
It's always London Pubcats, yeah. I think it was just, yeah.
Pubcats is two words. Two words, Pubcats.
Oh,
yeah, well, this is. No, you're right, and I think it is. It's an issue that keeps coming up with articles.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I feel like it was a design. It was a design decision.
We've invented a word.
Good.
Actually, to go back to the social media thing as well, if you were hashtagging it, it would be one word. So
that makes a lot of sense. It's called London Pubcats, as we've mentioned. It's got two sets of whiskers on it, one borrowed from, I think, a pub design somewhere, and one on a feline, looking plaintively out at you, listener, saying, please buy me and stick me in somebody's stocking once the stocking is available for present purposes.
That all came out a bit weird.
And it's by Vicky Lane and Tim White, and it's a tenner. It's out there now. From Lady Dinah's Cat Emporium. The pair of you, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. My heart aches
for some far off. And that's all for this week. My thanks for this week to Vicky Lane and Tim White. Thanks to Bernie Barclay. Theme and incidental music was by Songs from the Howling Sea. I'm N. Quentin Wolfe.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.